Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We're continuing our sermon today on a Christian state of mind from Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 through Philippians chapter 2, verse 18. Our primary passage of scripture is Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 through chapter 2, verse 5. But Lord willing, we will also look at what it actually means in terms of the description of the mind of Christ, what it means to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind that was demonstrated by Jesus Christ? And then the expectation that God has for his people. How are we to live when we have a Christian state of mind? The same mind that was in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul points out in this passage of scripture. So as we consider again this passage of scripture in Philippians, we are reminded of what it means to be a Christian and to have this state of mind. And again, we go back to understanding this is connected to our belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and therefore the life of Christ, and therefore following Christ, and how this affects or influences or is demonstrated in our mood, and this more specifically in relation to our thinking and our behavior, how we think and how we act. What is our attitude? What is our outlook? What is our approach? And then what is the manner in which we react to situations at a particular time, and understanding the time in which we live and the way in which we live all have to do with our state of mind. So again, looking at the Christian state of mind, I will read Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 25 through chapter 2, verse 5. And I will be reading from the King James translation, and it says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me." Chapter 2, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So as we consider these words, we look first of all at this Christian state of mind. And it is a mind of confidence, progress, and joy. And this is what is pointed out in verses 25 and 26 of chapter 1. Again, this Christian state of mind is a mind of confidence, progress, and joy. And this is what the Apostle Paul says when he says, having this confidence, he's saying that he is convinced of this. He is convinced that he knows that he will abide, he will continue with the Philippian saints for their furtherance and joy of faith. It is for their progress. It is for their joy. And this is what he is communicating. And this is the state of mind that is being communicated both by the Apostle Paul and as it relates to the state of mind of the Philippian believers. So it is, in other words, a state of mind when we talk about confidence and progress and joy, where God is benefiting his people based on his work and his plan for the good of his people. And this is what our state of mind must be as Christians. This is what it means to have a Christian state of mind, to be confident in the will of God. And this is what the Apostle Paul communicates, because if you look a few verses up where he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, in verse 24, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And as the English Standard Version reads, "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." So Paul's desire, when we talk about this confidence, his desire is to depart and be with Christ. But he realizes that it is more necessary for him to remain for the benefit of the Philippian believers. That is a Christian state of mind. Confidence in being convinced of God's plan and God's purpose for all of his people, for the good, for the benefit, for the necessary progress, if you will, of his people. And this is what you call sacrificial thinking, sacrificial living. That is what our Lord demonstrated in his prayer in the garden when he prayed to his Father, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." You see, it's sacrificial thinking. So when we speak of the confidence is not confidence that is based on my own desires. It is confidence in being convinced of God's will, and God's will being whatever God determines to be best for the good of his people. And this is the Christian state of mind. That is the mood that we are to be in. That is the mood of our thinking. Confidence, but not confidence for me to have what I want, when I want it, how I want it, but confidence that whatever God determines is best for his people, this is what I submit to, the will of God. This is why Paul says he's convinced of this. He knows, he says, that he's going to continue with them because it is for their progress and joy. Why? How do we explain this, that his abiding or continuing with them is for the furtherance and joy of their faith? How do we describe that? How are we to understand this? Well, if you consider Paul's circumstances, it's easy, and it was easy for the Philippians to get discouraged because Paul was being persecuted. And so he's in bonds, and being in bonds is not just discouraging for him. It is discouraging for those who see the outcome, if you will, of his faith. What does it mean to serve Christ? Well, the Apostle Paul is going to speak a little more to that as we move along in this passage. But suffice it to say, it's not a popularity contest. Is not a popularity contest. The Christian state of mind in our day is all about getting all you canning all you get, branding yourself and becoming a mega something. All in the name of Jesus for you. It is the highest level or demonstration of selfishness in the name of religion. The status and the bling and the popularity, everything that is contrary to what the Christian state of mind is to be. And so often we hear people say, well, God wants us to have what we want to have. Where did you get that from? Because this passage of scripture, when it comes to the Christian state of mind, is going to say the very opposite of that. Jesus himself said, not as I will, but thy will be done. Now, where do you see in that Jesus trying to insist that he have his way rather than the Father having his way? The songwriter doesn't say, let me have my own way, Lord. Let me have my own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Let me have my own way. The songwriter says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And so when we consider what the Christian state of mind is, the confidence that is expressed here by the Apostle Paul is not the confidence or him being convinced for according to his own desire, but for the benefit of God's people and according to God's will. This is what we see, and that is the Christian state of mind. Not confidence in self, not being selfish and motivated by selfish desires, but having a state of mind that says, I'm confident that it is necessary for me to remain in order for you to benefit from what God has done, is doing, and will do. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. Although I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better for me to remain in the flesh, here is more necessary for your benefit. This is what he communicates. And so he says he's convinced of this. He knows, he's confident that he shall abide and continue. He shall abide and continue. He's assured of this. He's assured of this because he knows that this is God's will. And you don't know God's will without talking to God. You don't know God's will without having faith in God. This is what the apostle speaks of, and this is what he demonstrates when we talk about the Christian state of mind. You don't know God's will if you don't have a state of mind that focuses not on your own will, but on what is pleasing to God for the benefit of those who he loves. This is not a popularity contest. This is confidence in God, being fully persuaded, convinced of God's will, God's purpose for this life that he has purchased and called into the work of the ministry in order for those who he calls to grow. And that's where we get to the progress, the advancement, the furtherance, the increase, you understand. And this is what we must have in our faith. And this is what so many of us lack as it relates to the Christian journey and therefore the Christian state of mind. Because our mood, that is our mindset in relation to our thinking and our living or our behavior, is such that we feel like faith doesn't require progress. We feel like faith is an end in itself without evidence. And yet the Bible speaks very much to the contrary as it explains faith, particularly in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What? The evidence of things not seen. Your faith has to have substance and evidence. It has to be worked out. And that's what the Apostle Paul goes on to say in this very letter. So the Christian state of mind is one of confidence as well as progress. Progress in the faith, advancement, furtherance, moving forward, increasing, proceeding, growing. This is what we need. We seem to be stifled in our thinking. We seem to be pleased with snuffing out anything that has to do with growing in faith, and we replace growth in faith with nothing more than emotionalism and shallow, selfish desires that focus on this life and this world. That's not a Christian state of mind. This is not who God has called us to be. He's called us to grow. And the confidence that is expressed in the Christian state of mind is the confidence to serve, to do for the benefit, to do what is necessary for the progress of God's people. We're too selfish, particularly those of us who are in a position, especially when it comes to the work of the ministry, the labor of preaching and teaching and feeding and overseeing and pastoring, shepherding the flock of God. We have these selfish desires, and we're not concerned with the progress or the growth of God's people. We're concerned with our own desires, and so we don't pray what our Lord prayed. We don't look at things the way that the Apostle Paul looks at them. We look at it as an opportunity. We're opportunists. We want what we want. We want to be the prima donna in the faith. And instead of giving the example of suffering for Christ and sacrificing and loving God's people genuinely, as Peter tells us, is we are to feed the flock, not for filthy money, not for the love of money, not for twisted ambition and desire, not lording over the flock of God, but doing it willingly and sacrificially. So this is the Christian state of mind. And when he speaks of the confidence and progress, he speaks of the progress in relation to the joy. Where he says in verse 25, I will abide and continue with you all for your furtherance, that is your progress and joy of faith. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul, because he knows if he remains and being confident that he will, for the benefit of the Philippians, it's not just for their progress, but it's also for their joy. They rejoice. They have this relationship wherein they are joyful or cheerful. They find delight and gladness in Paul. And not Paul as a rock star apostle, but Paul as the one who gives wholly and fully of himself for the benefit of these believers, this church, these saints in Philippi. They know his sacrifice. They know his suffering. They know his love. They know his prayers. They know his example. And so he says, for me to remain in this Christian state of mind, it will bring not just furtherance or progress for you in the faith, but it would also bring joy for you. It would bring cheerfulness and gladness for you because I'm still here. You remember what happened when Jesus said it was necessary for him to go away. So we look at our Lord's experience sort of in a twofold manner. The one is it was needful for us that he go to Calvary. It was necessary on our account that he die. Not because he sinned, but because we were sinners. And the scripture points out in the word of God, it tells us that God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the Christian state of mind. And then in a second sense, it was necessary for him to go away after the resurrection. And he tells his disciples, he tells them that it's necessary for him to go away. So in that sense, he has to depart in order for us to benefit and receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit that the Lord promised to us through his son, based on his son's obedience, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and therefore him receiving the promise of the Father, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for all of those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So In that sense, we see the Christian state of mind is sacrificial in terms of what is necessary for us in Christ dying for us. But it is also necessary in the sense that he had to go away. As much as it grieved the apostles, as much as it grieved the disciples to see their Lord go, and they wondered what would become of us. But it was necessary because he says that they're going to be empowered from on high. That's the Christian state of mind. What is necessary for the good, for the benefit of God's people? Jesus had to go. He had to go, but he's coming back. So what does that mean? When he comes back, then we know in this Christian state of mind that we have joy, cheerfulness, and gladness because we anticipate his return. And in the meantime, we have joy and gladness because God gives us this joy and gladness and the fullness and all the promises that he's given us in Christ Jesus, particularly through his Spirit, who reassures us and fills us with the gladness, the delight, the calmness, the cheerfulness that we have in Jesus Christ. This is what we have, and this is the Christian state of mind. Confidence, progress, joy, and this is what is communicated here again, where we see joy of faith. Joy of faith. Our assurance, our belief is a belief of joy that should result in joy, that should be encouraged in joy. We should know that God's promises concerning those who suffer for him, God's promises concerning those who serve him, God's promises concerning those who love him and obey him and live for him and trust in Jesus Christ, his promises are sure. And God gives us reassurance with one another, in one another. And this is the joy of faith, progress and joy. This is the Christian state of mind, how we think, how we live, how we respond, how we approach life. We have joy, we have progress, we have faith. And he says in verse 26, still in Philippians chapter 1, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. This is, again, what is related to this joy is the coming again of the Apostle Paul, where he speaks of this boasting, not the boasting in himself, but boasting in Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the blessing that God gives in setting the apostle free from the bonds in order to encourage the saints at Philippi. The work of God, where we glory in Christ, and not just glory a little bit, but super abounding glory. It's like what is communicated in terms of excelling, so that your boasting will excel, or that you will have an increase of glory and boasting in Jesus Christ because of Paul coming to you again. And you are encouraged because of what God has done. It is like the overflowing joy that we have seeing God do what only he can do. When is the last time you really boasted in the Lord because of what he did that only he can do? And this is what the Apostle Paul is confident in. That's the Christian state of mind. Again, confidence and progress and joy and rejoicing, which is the boasting that comes according to the work of Christ. And he says, abundant, more abundant, or more abundantly, that is our joy abounds, our boasting and our glory in Jesus Christ abounds. Listen, the work of Jesus doing what only he can do should always result in us having exceeding joy, or this glory, or glorying in Christ and rejoicing in him, and being overflowed or overflowing and being filled up with joy based on what only Jesus could do and how he shows it and how he manifests his great work and power in order for us to see the evidence of his faithfulness. This is what the Apostle Paul is speaking of. And again, this is the Christian state of mind. Joy. We ought to rejoice and glory and boast in Jesus for all that he does. And again, the evidence is around us, and we need to have expectation in the work and the doing of Jesus Christ. And we ought to stop dragging bottom in every way as Christians, acting hopeless, living hopeless, thinking hopeless. We have a hopeless mood, and that is not the Christian state of mind. We are a people of hope. As a matter of fact, we've cornered the market on hope, exclusively found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yep, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this Christian state of mind has confidence, not in self, but being fully persuaded of what God deems necessary, his will for the good of his people, sacrificially living in order to please God. Progress, joy, and rejoicing according to what God does. And our faith must progress, as we talked about. Our faith must be a faith that grows. Let's stop sitting down after we profess faith in Christ and approaching this journey as if it's just a matter of making a profession and not having a changed life. Because God does his work. We saw it here in the first chapter that I told you, where the Apostle Paul says in verse 6, again in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You got to have some confidence, and you got to have some progress. You got to show some signs. That's the Christian state of mind. And then as we look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the Christian state of mind is about gospel citizenship. Gospel citizenship. It is our collective identity. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is gospel citizenship. That's what it means when it talks about our conversation. Let your conversation, that means to behave as a citizen, as becometh or as is worthy of the gospel. That's what that means. When you, some of you old schoolers out there, you remember on the report cards, we would have our grade and we would have our citizenship mark. And my parents always looked at that citizenship mark regardless of the grade. If you got a good grade and you're talking and you got a 3 in citizenship, that means you're keeping somebody else from learning. If you got a bad grade and you're talking, that means you got a 3 in citizenship. That means that not only are you keeping somebody else from learning, but you're not paying attention yourself. And sometimes that's how we approach Christianity. That's how we approach this state of mind, is we don't look at it in terms of having citizenship or being a citizen according to the gospel that is worthy of or suitable to the good message that we've received. We look at it as an opportunity to be free to distract everybody else from the things that are pleasing to God, because we punched our ticket, as it were. So we think. And so our mindset is not fixed on anybody else. It's just selfishness and disruptive citizenship. And that's why the Apostle Paul has to say, only let your conversation, that is, let your citizenship be as is worthy or as is suitable of the good message that you've received. So we're going to stop here. God willing, I got a little carried away today, but I hope you forgive me. But Lord willing, we will resume this study when we meet again next week, this sermon. In the meantime, make sure you tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.